Now, 25 years ago this month, the IRA declared a ceasefire, suspending a campaign of violence which had lasted for a quarter of a century and claimed some 1,800 lives. The August 1994 ceasefire was a turning point in the search for a political settlement in Northern Ireland, a process which eventually led to the Good Friday Agreement 4 years later. Confidential British government files from the period, released today, shed new light on contacts between the UK and Irish governments and Sinn Féin, as the first tentative steps were taken on the road to peace. Sam McBride, political editor of the Belfast Newsletter, has been looking over the documents and joins us on the line now. A very good morning to you, Sam, and thanks indeed for taking our call. This is a huge amount of material. I think it's over 500 files. You've been looking through them. What's particularly caught your eye?
This is really the first time in these files that we see Martin McGuinness emerge as a central figure. Up until now, the files in which Martin McGuinness would have featured would have been security files. Those are not the sorts of things which even after this passage of time are declassified by the government, and that will be for future historians really to pore over. But really what we see here is the first time that Sinn Féin sits down on an authorised and acknowledged basis with the government. There had been previous deniable contacts through MI5, through a back channel, but this is the first time that they sit down and look at each other in a very public process, if you like, in that we on the outside knew this was going on, but we didn't know what was actually being said behind closed doors. And what we see in these files is a pretty remarkable document. It's 34 pages long. It's a minute which was taken by the Northern Ireland office of this first meeting with the Sinn Féin delegation led by Martin McGuinness. I've never seen anything like that in any government document, really, anywhere that I have looked before. Generally, government minutes tend to be cursory. They tend to deliberately leave things out if they're controversial. And I think what was happening here was there was a sense among the British side that they were not in any way trustful of what Sinn Féin might do. They didn't know if the IRA ceasefire would hold, and ultimately it didn't hold. And so therefore, there was probably a concern that they needed to have a very accurate, or at least from their point of view, a very accurate minute of this, lest Sinn Féin's notes at some future point were leaked. But it really gives us this remarkable insight into Martin McGuinness as a negotiator, somebody who immediately was head and shoulders above the other people on the delegation. Gerry Kelly is there, now a fairly senior Sinn Féin member, but he barely said a word. He took a few notes. Martin McGuinness was really the driving force who impressed officials, and they really identified him immediately as the key figure there on the other side of the table.
Events moved very rapidly after the ceasefire on August 31st. That meeting which you've been describing took place, I think, in December, just a few months after the ceasefire. But actually, much earlier than that, there was a meeting in Dublin. Albert Reynolds Taoiseach invited both Gerry Adams and John Hume, the SDLP leader, to government buildings. And that is also referred to in these documents, isn't it?
That's right. And what we see here, I suppose, is broadly consistent with what was probably being briefed at the time, but not spoken publicly by the British government. They felt that what Albert Reynolds had done in bringing Gerry Adams in so quickly from the cold was acting with unseemly haste. It wasn't the British position to do that. And I suppose that there was a degree of tension there between the two sides. But what we also see in one of these files is a very interesting allusion to how there were strains between the various governments, which ultimately came to be very significant in the peace process. The British government, the American government, and the Irish government, where at one point there is a suggestion from Martin McGuinness in these talks that he wants a separate process, and this is interpreted by the British officials as a secret process, and they say, well, we can have some other talks with a smaller Republican delegation, yourself and someone else, but this really can't be a secret situation. But what is referred to in the files is that information has not been given to the Irish government. It's not been given to the American government, and the official who's taking the minute is very careful to say, make sure it doesn't.
Some of the themes which emerge are ones which would be familiar to people who followed all of this. There were issues raised in relation to paramilitary prisoners, in relation to demilitarisation of British installations along the border and elsewhere. The situation in relation to the disappeared. Some of those have been resolved over the years. Others remain all this time later still to be finally put to bed.
That's right. And I think one of the interesting things for me as a journalist looking into this, looking out from these papers, I suppose, rather than normally looking in, is that most of what is said in these talks is really what both sides were saying outside at the time. So I suppose we always wonder what goes on behind closed doors. Do people say one thing publicly and then go in and have a much more candid conversation? But actually, largely, this was Sinn Féin saying the British government are not treating us equally. Ministers should be meeting us. It should not just be civil servants at this point. And the same arguments about IRA violence are coming back really from the British side. But one of the really interesting things that was not public at the time, and I think is very significant now, is that there is this proposal or this suggestion floated by the British side that if the IRA decommission arms, and then they say the similar, really an identical thing to the loyalist paramilitary political representatives in a separate meeting, but they say if the IRA decommission their arms, they will probably or potentially not be forensically tested. And that is something which is very, very significant, because last year the then PSNI Chief Constable George Hamilton said that really that decision taken at a very early stage in the peace process meant that for his officers now trying to solve some of these troubles, atrocities, they have one arm tied behind their backs. They don't have that evidential basis. So that, I think, is very significant. And this is the first time that this emerges in these talks, in these files.
Well, in due course, no doubt, we'll have Irish government papers as well. It makes you wonder what level of interest there'd be if Sinn Féin and the IRA were to release some of their documents as well, and perhaps to help us to complete the picture. But there we leave it. Sam McBride from the newsletter. Thanks indeed.